Hello, and thank you for joining me. My name is Cedric Richardson, and this is the Illinois Audio Reader. In this part two, I'll be bringing you news from the Decatur Herald and Review. Decatur's Theater 7 comes back to life. As the saying goes, the show must go on, even during a pandemic. Decatur's community theater company, Theater 7, may be unable to perform on a stage, but that hasn't stopped them from entertaining fans. Their latest project, Back from the Dead, are short films and clips featuring various stories and lessons. The shorts were posted on their Facebook page the week of Halloween, but the group will continue to show off its talents throughout November. The clips will have a central theme, What Are You Thankful For? We're hoping to maybe go out and talk to some patrons, talk to some people in Decatur and ask them what they are thankful for in this time of uncertainty, said Tanya Hobner, Theater 7's president. Just remember that we are all safe and sound and we have lots of things to be thankful for. The producers and actors have been stifled since their last show, The 39 Steps, was on stage in February. The pandemic has postponed auditions and performances for the year. But an actor must act. Since the pandemic, Theater 7 members haven't had any opportunities to be on stage. We haven't done anything, Hobner said. The actors have been creating their own productions with help from each other. We're out doing some fun videos for everybody to watch, Hobner said. The Back from the Dead posts were created to kick off Halloween week, as well as let people know they are ready to get back to entertaining. The videos include narratives, children's stories, and makeup tutorials. It's some fun stuff, but also some acting and theatrical stuff, Hobner said. The first posted video was of actress Emily Steele reading a children's book, with a multitude of dogs weaving in and out of the video camera's view, with many close-ups. Throughout Steele's story, she speaks to the dogs. Rudy, you have to get out of the way, she said a few times to a chocolate lab. One of the latest productions was filmed at Decatur's infamous Greenwood Cemetery. Theater 7 actress Christina Bolson, dressed in ominous black clothing, strolled among the older tombstones relaying some of the spooky stories. The Devil's Chair was one of her subjects. She relays the legend of the sculpted seat and the plight of anyone who dares to sit on it. There are multiple chairs throughout the cemetery, Bolson said. Somehow, throughout the years, this specific mourning chair within Greenwood is now said to be haunted. Theater 7 Company has hopes for the future. The first step is to make it back on stage safely, to turn those lights back on, to bring our patrons back in, Hobner said. We can have fun and present you with great theater, great live theater. Until the actors and producers are allowed to return to the stage, the company will do what they can to perform. Auditions are planned for their upcoming show, Noises Off, in November. We're going to figure out a way to bring you guys the shows that you love, said Hobner. It might be in a totally different situation, but we're still here and we're going to make this happen. A Decatur man had multiple gunshot wounds. An autopsy report of a fatal shooting victim revealed the cause of death to be from multiple gunshot wounds that struck multiple parts of the body. Macon County Coroner Michael Day said Travers J. Wells, 30, died from multiple gunshot wounds involving the neck, chest, arms, and legs, suffered after an incident Sunday afternoon in the 2300 block of North Rosedale Avenue. Wells was found shortly after 4 p.m. Sunday by police officers responding to a report of shots fired. The victim was pronounced dead at the scene, according to a coroner's report. Decatur police are currently investigating the case. Anyone with information on the shooting is encouraged to call police at 217-424-2734. People who want to remain anonymous can call Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. Decatur and Macon County are not prepared to enforce the state's bar and restaurant restrictions. Decatur and Macon County law enforcement agencies don't have the manpower needed to enforce the state's restrictions on restaurants and bars. In surprise remarks at the end of Monday's Decatur City Council, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said that the determination was made following meetings with Police Chief Jim Getz, Macon County Sheriff Tony Brown, the state's attorney's office, and other officials who would be called upon to patrol individual businesses to check for compliance. Additionally, we would be potentially sending people into what I consider to be dangerous situations, either a bar full of COVID carriers or angry people who might push back, said Moore Wolf. Region 6, which includes Macon County, was placed under increased restrictions in an effort to prevent the spread of coronavirus. The measures, which went into effect on Monday, ban indoor dining and bar service and limit gatherings to 25 people, down from 50, or 25% of capacity. Gaming establishments have to close at 11 p.m. as well. Moore Wolf said action would be taken against blatant gatherings like large parties and events, and she warned businesses that end up with complaints lodged against them were risking their liquor, gaming, and amusement licenses. She said the city planned to launch a digital campaign appealing for unity to try and encourage the community to cooperate and get through the health crisis together. None of this is easy. Our businesses have been dealt a tremendous blow by COVID that they may very well never recover from, she said. But the mayor also warned that Decatur and the whole region was in the grip of a serious health care crisis where one out of every three patients in the city's hospitals is now a COVID patient. It's not like we can look around our region and say, hey, it's not us. Because, folks, it is us, Wolf added. We are the problem, and we've got to do something about it. Making memories. New memories close out another season of Boo at the Zoo. Brody Jane's face lit up when the trick-or-treating route he'd been following through Scoville Zoo came upon the penguins. Brody, 6, and his 4-year-old brother Owen then watched in delight as a group of penguins simultaneously jumped into the water, chasing after food thrown by a staff member. I did not know they could swim that fast, the 6-year-old said, adding that getting to see the animals was the highlight of his trip to Boo at the Zoo. Brody attended the event dressed as Super Mario, his favorite video game character. Owen was dressed as Luigi. We like it, and it's a lot better for the social distancing, said Kendra Jane, the boy's mother, said of the event. It's a great way to do it. Saturday marked the last day of another successful Boo at the Zoo, during which the zoo's animals and treat stations share the spotlight. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, some changes had to be made to this year's event. Among the changes was a limit of 125 people being let inside the zoo every half hour, and yearly staples like the train and carousel weren't in operation. It also led to some unique ways to hand candy out to the kids. An example being some of the 10 stations sliding candy through a PVC pipe and letting trick-or-treaters catch it in their bucket at the other end. In the first week, we had a few slots open, and then After that, it was sold out, zoo director Ken Fry said. I think people have been really appreciative that we've kept the event going. Katie Largent, 34, and her family came dressed as characters from The Wizard of Oz. Her young children were dressed as Scarecrow, Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion. Her husband as a Yellow Brick Road, and her parents as the Wicked Witch and an Oz guard. There's sort of a multi-generational obsession with The Wizard of Oz, Largent said. Carolyn O'Dell, her mother, said they began dressing as Oz characters when Katie, who always played Dorothy, was 4 years old. Theme family costumes were very popular on Saturday. Thomas Robertson and his 5-year-old son came as the Transformers, Bumblebee, and Optimus Prime, while his 6-month-old was the Cookie Monster and his wife was a glass of milk. James O'Donohue, 39, was making those first-time memories with his 2-year-old daughter, Lottie. Lottie was dressed as a monarch butterfly, while her dad, wearing a butterfly catcher outfit, carried her to each candy stop. It's been a theme throughout the summer, said O'Donohue of Lottie's fascination in butterflies. That's how we came up with the theme. Election day is over, but we still have to eat. How to stress eat your way through election day, election week, with great food. Election day may be over, but it's still a stressful and emotional time for many, and a bunch of fast food chains are stepping up with free comfort food, or low-priced comfort food for a limited time, to help you cope. Are these deals more than gimmicks to get you in the door or app to spend more money? Absolutely, but hey, everyone needs to eat. And the fast food industry, a zero loyalty business with razor thin margins, relies on these short-term promotions to boost sales from time to time. Here are some of the big chains offering deals or freebies on election day. Boston Market customers could get a free slider after 9 p.m. on November 3rd. Boston Market said it wanted to offer this deal for a few hours on election night because election day could stretch well into the evening and beyond. Burger King, through Grubhub, Burger King was offering $3 off orders of $18 or more. Jersey Mike's, a sandwich chain, was offering free turkey subs and free delivery on orders of $10 or more on election day for orders placed through Grubhub. Krispy Kreme visitors got an I voted sticker and got a free glazed donut on election day. Apparently, you don't even have to prove you voted to get the sticker, because they do it all the time. But do the honest thing and go out and enjoy a donut. McDonald's was giving away one of its free 3 new cafe items, an apple fritter, a blueberry muffin, or a cinnamon roll, free with the purchase of a hot or iced coffee on orders placed through its app. The promotion runs from November 3rd through November 9th, so you still have time. Technically, you can keep up with the free carb train rolling all week. At P.F. Chang's, if you never ordered from P.F. Chang's before, you're in luck. The chain is doing a $10 off deal for new diners through Grubhub. Pret A Manger is offering $5 off Grubhub offers of $15 or more, but that was only for Election Day. Until November 8th, Wendy's customers can get a free classic chicken sandwich with any purchase. It's classic, but it's also new. Wendy's is promoting it as a crispier and juicier fried chicken than its predecessor. McDonald's was on that list, but it's also on the radar. McDonald's is finally bringing back the McRib nationwide. McDonald's McRib is coming back, and this time it's going nationwide for the first time in nearly a decade. The fast food chain is making the favorite sandwich available at all of its 14,400 U.S. restaurants when it hits menus on December 2nd. In previous years, the McRib was sold at only some locations, which sparked excitement and subsequent long lines, a no-no in this time of social distancing. described as saucy, tangy, tender, and shamelessly delicious. The McRib first appeared on menus nearly 40 years ago. The sandwich is a boneless pork patty shaped like a rack of ribs and smothered in barbecue sauce. The price varies by location. McDonald's brings back the McRib once a year as a limited time offering. Seasonal items are an important marketing tool for the food industry, according to Alexander Chernev, a professor of marketing at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. When you have these exclusive products, which exist for a short period of time, it gives people a reason to come to the store, Cherney previously told CNN Business. For example, Starbucks customers get excited about pumpkin spice lattes and holiday red cups. The McRib news may have been foreshadowed earlier this week when a McDonald's social media manager tweeted their lament about being pummeled with inquiries about the sandwich, sparking a viral conversation among brands. It's always, when is the McRib coming back? And never, how are you doing, person who runs the McDonald's account? McDonald's sales have been on the upswing since a dismal spring quarter when coronavirus began spreading across the United States. Sales at U.S. stores open at least a year jumped 4.6% in the third quarter, compared with the same period last year, the company said in a regulatory filing earlier this month. Sales improvements in the U.S. were driven in part by strong performance at dinner and new items and stunts, including a Travis Scott meal and spicy nuggets. This month, it hopes to replicate the success with a J Balvin meal and new McCafe baked goods. McDonald's releases third quarter results on November 9th. Let's do something fun. How about how to host a virtual wine tasting? I miss having drinks with the girls. Sure, I've been to my share of virtual happy hours, but 6 months into the pandemic, it's more now. They are being pretty boring. Part of the fun of sitting at the bar with the girls is dishing over heavy pours. In the age of coronavirus, we've got nothing to dish about. Maybe I should use this time with friends and onophiles to educate myself about wine rather than gossip over it. I'm ready to elevate my palate. Perhaps I should host my own virtual wine tasting. This is not a novel idea. Wineries have been hosting virtual tastings since the onset of the pandemic to drive business, according to Wine Enthusiast magazine. I sought out an expert to help me plan my own virtual wine tasting. Here's how it went and how you can plan your own. I connected with Mary Ewing Mulligan, the Penn graduate and the president of the International Wine Center in New York. Ewing Mulligan is also the first American woman to earn the prestigious title of Master of Wine. A Master of Wine understands the science behind the wine. Ewing Mulligan has co-authored several books in the Wine for Dummies series with her husband, Ed McCarthy. The swirl, the sniff, the taste. Ewing Mulligan suggested a red, white, and rosé. The white was a Louis Gildeau 2019 Bourgogne Chardonnay produced in Burgundy. A Chardonnay is a good, solid, reliable wine that people can find anywhere. Ewing Mulligan said the rosé was courtesy of Marc de Charac rosé from Rioja, Spain. And finally, the red, a blend of Merlot and Cabernet Franc from Chateau Lazuli, a vintage blend. I invited my mom and sister to the tasting. Ewing Mulligan instructed us to start with light to heavy, but you can also drink in order from dry to sweet or least expensive to more expensive, depending on the theme. We each poured 4 ounces of wine into the glass, swirled it. When you swirl the wine, the scent is released, Ewing Mulligan said, and then we took a sniff. Discussion ensued. We agreed the Chardonnay smelled like green apples, and we enjoyed its silky texture and full body. It featured a citrusy finish that lingered in the back of our throats. The Chardonnay was my mother's favorite. Surprising, because she doesn't really like wine. She prefers beer. And when she does drink wine, it's Prosecco in mimosas. The swirl, the sniff, the taste. We repeated with each wine. The rosé was surprisingly dry despite its deep pink hue. Although a little pricey for my wine budget, it was $30. I'd definitely invest in the red. Most importantly, I had a great time and no one had to drive home. Here's how to host your own virtual wine tasting. Choose a theme. Consider how you'd like to set up your wine tasting. Do you love red wine? Maybe the theme of your tasting should be Pinot Noirs under $20. Or perhaps you want to lead a tasting of Cabernet Sauvignons from Pennsylvania wineries, such as Chadford's Winery or Blue Mountain Vineyards. There's really no limit on the kinds of wines you can choose, said Ewing Mulligan. Tasting tip. You may have a few guests who don't love wine, but are itching to participate for the camaraderie. There is definitely a vino to suit their palate. For example, if whiskey is their spirit of choice, make sure you have an oaky Chardonnay in the mix, or bourbon-infused Cabernet, like Big Six Bourbon Barrel Cabernet Sauvignon. Choose the wines. You'll want to choose the right wines for both your palate and your pocketbook. For the tasting, you'll need to pick no fewer than 3, no more than 5 bottles. Think about wines before you've truly enjoyed. If you remember a restaurant but can't remember the actual wine, look up the menu online to jog your memory. Consult with the experts at your local spirits store who will know the wines best for tasting. Consider your budget. Remember that all of your participants will have to buy each bottle. Maybe keep your price at less than $20 per bottle. Do your research. Once you've chosen your wines, learn more about them. Where are the wines produced? What's special about the vineyard? What kind of grapes make up the blends? Familiarize yourself with the notes or the flavor. Is it the producer's top wine or is it the run-of-the-mill variety? What foods pair well? Most of this information can be found on the wine producer's website. And a tasting tip. Create index cards with bullet points. You'll want to have them handy when you introduce the wines to your guests. And, most importantly, have fun. A blood test could find Alzheimer's disease before symptoms appear. Researchers are close to finding early cancer with a blood test. They may soon do the same with Alzheimer's disease.
Let's just look at some of these numbers right now, and they are horrific.
A new blood test called p-tau-217 has shown great promise in diagnosing people with the disease, according to findings published online July 28, 2020, by the Journal of the American Medical Association. The test looks for a specific type of tau protein in the blood. In people with Alzheimer's, tau protein in the brain forms tangles. Accumulation of tau protein tangles along with beta amyloid deposits is thought to play a key role in how the disease develops. For this study, the researchers combined the results of 3 separate studies that used the p-tau-217 blood test. One study looked at brain autopsies, another examined people with and without a clinical diagnosis of Alzheimer's, the third compared people who have a genetic mutation highly associated with Alzheimer's to those without the mutation, based on blood samples taken from a total of 1,402 people. The blood test was highly accurate in determining whether cognitive changes and memory loss were likely due to the disease. It also accurately identified Alzheimer's before dementia occurred. More studies are needed to verify the findings. While there is no cure for Alzheimer's, the test could help identify the disease as early as 20 years before cognitive issues appear, according to the researchers. Beyond bad cholesterol, a closer look at your blood lipids. For assessing heart disease risk, a standard cholesterol test doesn't always tell the story. who should consider an additional test. A standard cholesterol test, also known as a lipid profile or lipid panel, tells you the amount of cholesterol and triglyceride carried in your blood. These lipids, or fats, travel inside tiny particles called lipoproteins. Created in your intestines and liver, lipoproteins come in a range of shapes, sizes, and densities. The value of greatest concern is low-density lipoprotein, or LDL cholesterol, often referred to as bad cholesterol. Too much LDL in the bloodstream helps to create the plaque that accumulates inside arteries, raising the risk of heart attack. The higher your LDL, the higher your risk of having a heart attack. However, about half of heart attacks occur in people who have a normal LDL cholesterol value, also referred to as an optimal or near-optimal LDL. See the range of LDL cholesterol. What might explain this observation? In addition to LDL, other lipoproteins can contribute to clogged arteries. Known as atherogenic particles, they include intermediate-density lipoprotein, very low-density lipoprotein, and chylomicrons, the largest, lowest-density particles, which consist mainly of lipid. For those with known heart disease, doctors recommend an LDL of less than 70 milligrams. Less than 100 milligrams is optimal, is near optimal or above, borderline high, and very high. The particle number is explained. Some cholesterol tests report your non-HDL cholesterol, which is your total cholesterol minus the high-density lipoprotein. While that value captures all the cholesterol in the atherogenic particles, it doesn't tell you one potentially important thing: the actual number of particles. There's increasing recognition that it's not just the cholesterol that matters, but the number of lipoprotein particles, says Dr. Samia Mora, a cardiologist at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital. That's because both size as well as composition matter. Larger LDL particles carry more cholesterol, while smaller particles carry less. If the LDL particles in your blood are mostly on the small side, you will have a greater number of these particles for any given LDL cholesterol level compared to someone with larger particles. The more particles there are traveling through your blood, the more likely they are to become stuck inside artery walls. Growing evidence suggests that knowing the total number of all atherogenic lipoprotein particles is a better indicator of cardiovascular disease risk than the standard LDL cholesterol value. This number can be assessed with an inexpensive, widely available test that measures apolipoprotein B and a single protein found in all atherogenic particles. So why isn't ApoB testing done routinely? In most cases, an LDL value is sufficient. In general, if it's high, there's no reason to check your ApoB because you already know you're at higher risk for heart disease. You can assess your risk and possible need for a cholesterol-lowering statin here at www.health.harvard.edu/heart-risk. And with that, thank you for joining me here on the Illinois Audio Reader. Again, my name is Cedric Richardson. It's been a pleasure to read with you. And until next time, I look forward to having a good day. And I hope you do too. Goodbye.